and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, as we bring you our commentary and opinions on today's economic and financial news. And good afternoon, Dave. It's July 24th, 2019. Do you know what day that is?
Happy penultimate hump day for July 2019, Melody.
You know what's really strange?
What?
Time is just going by so fast. But for some reason, this month seems to be going a little bit slower than the rest of the months. I wonder why.
I don't know. I bet you Robert Mueller doesn't think the day is going by very quickly today.
No, it probably seems like he'll probably turn another year older and, you know, these things. Like. But anyway, we have Wendy Wilson joining us today. So let me go ahead and get right to the market reports. And today we have gold up 670 off the high of 1430. Currently in the New York spot price after market, $1,424. Silver is up 20 cents today at $16.67. Platinum was up $19 today at $874, and palladium was up 15 at $1543. So a good day for all the metals, and really, and we have a stronger dollar, 0.05 at 97.74. So it's nice to see the precious metals go in the same direction as the dollar. It just shows the strength. And when does the Fed meet, Dave?
Next, what is that? The 30th and 31st. So what's that, Thursday and Friday?
Next Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
So, okay, very good. Or Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday, yeah. So, yeah, it's so I would expect to see some weakness in the dollar up until then, but it's just fascinating to watch how some of these markets move. Crude oil was down 105 at 55.72. A lot of situations going in the Hormuz Strait with Iran. It seems to be that they said that they have they're controlling it. So they haven't blocked it, but they're controlling it. So I'm not sure if it means anything. Didn't mean anything to crude oil being down 105 today. The paper markets today, they were under some pressure. They did come back, but the Dow was still down 80 points at 27,269. The NASDAQ was up 70 at 8,321. The S&P was up 14 at 3,019. Can't wait to talk about the deficits. $1 trillion deficits are back. Our good old fiscal politicians. Anyway, that's another story, another day. Gold today was, 10-year yield, 2.05% down 0.2, and pretty quiet on the fronts in Europe and Asian markets. Let's go ahead and get right to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi.
I thought we'd talk about some antioxidants today because, you know what? Medical research is looking for some rich sources of antioxidants, and they're turning towards herbs. So you see a lot of antioxidant advertising for products all over the media. And, you know, most people understand antioxidants help counteract oxidative stress in the body. And according to medicalnewstoday.com, they say antioxidants prevent or slow damage to our cells that tend to produce free radicals, or what are called unstable molecules, that tend to get manufactured when we have undue stress or we have toxicity. So one distinctive difference with regard to products we should look for is the natural versus the artificial sources of your antioxidants. A lot of people don't know the difference. So scientists and physicians actually failed to recognize the difference between the two. But there is a difference. The natural foods, you're going to find this chemistry balance of elements that preserve your health. They'll have flavonoids, flavones, polyphenols, and polyestrogens. You tend to find these in plants, and they also are antioxidants. So we're going to take a look to see these two antioxidants and how it improves health. But first, the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry in January 2002 stated, antioxidants have become synonymous with good health. So do you think you're low in antioxidants, Melody?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, most people are. Most people are. Let's look at the natural chemistry. Now, in the February 2017 Science Direct, they published this article on food chemistry, and they were comparing the differences between the natural versions of your antioxidants found in your food sources to the synthetic lab variety. So the study used the antioxidants that they found in fennel seeds and chamomile herb, because they're really rich in the phenolic compounds, or your natural antioxidants. And they compared these plant nutrients to the synthetic. Often the synthetic are, you know, your supplements are kind of peppered, almost like, you know, fortified cereal. They'll just add these synthetic antioxidants to your supplements. And it's called BHA. So if you see that on the label, that's a synthetic antioxidant, and it stands for butylated hydroxyl anisole. Okay.
Hey.
So they took these two groups, these two antioxidants, whole food natural and the synthetic, and they put them into baked goods. They made biscuits with the antioxidants in there, and they wanted to compare the natural to the synthetic. And what they said was they were similar. They had similar antioxidant activity. However, there's a couple things to note here. Similar really doesn't mean exactly, and this or the same, so the action could be different in the body because you have a natural versus a synthetic. And the other thing to consider is herbs are very much heat sensitive, and they get changed chemically when heated, reducing their metabolic balance and power. So what they just proved here is the cooking of the whole food antioxidants reduced it to nothing, which was equivalent to the synthetic version.
Huh.
Yeah. So here's a quote from Medical News Today, May 29, 2018, that said, studies have shown that certain plants containing antioxidants lose much of their antioxidant benefits in the cooking process. As a result, it's important to seek out natural raw sources of your antioxidants. So therefore, this study actually showed highly processed synthetic antioxidants are similar to cooked antioxidants from plants that have lost much of their medicinal power. So, let's talk about your free radical scavengers. You know, the first time I heard that term, free radical, my uncle told me about this back in the 90s. I didn't know what he was talking about. He says, I'm taking antioxidants to reduce my free radical scavengers. And I was just like, okay. I didn't know what he was talking
about. I thought
you
were talking about Abby Hoffman.
Yeah. Well, to understand the benefits of your antioxidants, it's helpful to understand what a free radical really is. So most references to free radicals are waste product, often produced by our cells. Now, our cells tend to react to the nutrients we put in the body. It reacts to toxins it has to neutralize, and the free radical waste is a byproduct of our body managing all this and removing the waste material. So our body has... if it has a problem with free radicals, it will struggle to detox the system, and so your cleansing function of the body can slow down, get blocked, or otherwise be not efficient. So if we get a lot of free radicals, it can clog up the works, okay? So this buildup of this waste material, your free radical stuff, will stress your body and invite disease. And in most instances, you'll get a lot of inflammation that starts to flare up. Inflammation can hinder blood flow, can slow oxygen delivery to your cells. It can slow the delivery of nutrition and also slows the waste material removal. So when this happens, this whole problem gets exacerbated, especially if a person is a smoker or consumes, let's say, too much alcohol, or tends to work in an industry that exposes them to a lot of chemical toxins. So research is actually linking oxidative stress to conditions such as cancer, arthritis, heart disease, stroke, respiratory conditions like your COPDs, immune system malfunction, Parkinson's disease, vision loss, and also something called ischemic conditions, which has to do with circulatory issues. So it's real important to get our antioxidants, it seems, you know, if we can stave off all those conditions. And so we got a lot of cell risk. If the cells get stressed, we get put at risk. The number of things that can do that to increase our risk of this oxidative stress and the free radicals would be, again, smoking and drinking, eating a lot of junk food that doesn't have the nutrients in it. Excessive exercise will stress you as well. Drug therapies, you got to be careful what you're taking. Also, trauma or injury can predispose you to a lot of oxidative stress. Environmental pollution and exposure to a lot of ozone, as well as radiation, EMF emissions, or otherwise known as dirty electricity. So these can all increase our free radicals, Dave. and they can have an accumulative effect. And then what happens is it disrupts your minerals. It releases too many minerals from the system. And we had a conversation earlier, Melody, that you asked, you know, what really is the problem with people being sick? And a lot of it is we're not getting our minerals and we're not replenishing them. So let's talk about antioxidants, how you can get them in your whole foods. So the synthetic stuff I'd stay away from personally, and I prefer to fight my free radicals with whole food organic antioxidants. So let's say your vitamin A and beta carotene, you hear a lot about that. Of course, you're going to see that in carrots and broccoli, spinach, yams, spirulina, the guticola herb, barley grass, peppermint leaf, sienna leaf, yellow dock root, ervaresi herb, parsley, horseradish, as well as chaparral, nettle, dandelion root, and eyebright herb. So those are all going to be natural antioxidants. And when you look at your herbal sources, Melody and Dave, they're going to be compacted. So they're going to be super, super fortified with your antioxidants. So you don't have to use mega doses when you get the medicinal herbs going. So you're also going to get lycopene, lutein, zeaxanthin. Well, these are all great for your eye health as well. So,
what about blueberries?
Yeah, you're going to get the berries as well as tomatoes, summer squash, leeks, basil, ginkgo biloba, fennel, turmeric, green tea has a lot of antioxidants. So if you're a tea drinker, you can just, you know, pump that in. Coriander seeds, cumin, these are all high antioxidant types of food sources. Here's a quote from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and also they were quoted in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry, and also the American Cancer Chemistry Society chimed in. They said, herbs, in addition to making food tastier, are an abundant source of antioxidants and could provide potential anti-cancer benefits to a balanced diet, end of quote. So we got all this power. We just got to tap into it, see? We're just kind of not doing that.
You know, it really is amazing, Wendy, because you're right. I mean, it's right here. Everything is at our fingertips to live long and healthy lives. And absolutely. And yet,
what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Yep. Well, now, according to the American Chemistry Society, they say herbs have higher antioxidant activity, like I said, higher than your fruits and spices and vegetables, and even more so than garlic. So what they say, when you're consuming your antioxidants, your herbs and other foods, they also discovered that, let's say, 1 teaspoon of oregano has the same or a little bit more antioxidants than a medium-sized apple. So you see the size differential and the component there. So other garden herbs, you know, if you're going to have a garden with some culinary herbs, the ones with antioxidants you want to plant will be dill, thyme, rosemary, and peppermint, all compacted with antioxidants. Not only will make your salads and foods just shine, it will just protect you from your free radicals. Right, Dave?
He's not saying anything.
Indeed.
Well, now the market is flooded with all kinds of supplements, and most consumers are really not informed about those differences in your supplement ingredients. They're really not told that synthetic is just as, you know, they're told that synthetic is just as good as the natural, kind of like GMO is just as good as the original, right? What do you think? You think GMO is good?
Most people don't even know what GMO is, probably.
Genetically modified.
I know that.
Yeah. Well,
but the general populace out there, I wonder how many of them really get what GMO is.
Well, you know, it's not rocket science. We just have gotten away from basic good health and how we should eat. You know, we're just complicating things, I think. So when they look at, let's say, your mineral nutrition and in your crops, even from 1950. Okay, let's just go to 1950. We have 50% less in our crops, the nutrition. There was a lot more nutrition in the crops in 1900 when they first started to analyze crop nutrition. So in our ancestors before World War II ate three times less in volume than we're eating now. And it wasn't because they were poor and they were starving. It's because when you get nutrition in your food, you're satisfied with less volume.
So, true.
Yeah. So we're just eating devitalized food sources. Now, I sent you that salt. Did you try the salt?
I do. I use it. Well, I don't use salt very often, but when I use it, I do use it, and I do like it.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, if you took a pinch of Morton salt, put it in your mouth, you'd be feeling pretty thirsty. But if you take this salt, the sun-dried Celtic salt I sent you that still has the minerals in it, you're not thirsty. You know, you don't really have to take a sip of water. So, and the other thing is do you taste more flavor in your food? Did you notice that?
You know what? I taste more flavor, less salty.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, because you're just not eating sodium chloride, which is what processed salt is. You're getting the sodium chloride, but with all the buffer elements with it, so that the body can metabolize it well, and it's not as harsh. And you have magnesium in it, and the magnesium is important because if you don't have magnesium in salt, it will numb your taste buds, and you won't taste your food as much. So you'll actually taste more flavor in your food when you have a whole food salt that has all those 80 microminerals. And by the way, that kind of salt doesn't promote hypertension, so you don't have to worry about the high blood pressure there. And it's our way of getting our electrolytes back.
You know, when I watch, if you watch those cooking shows or you watch these chefs and so forth, and, you know, they put just gobs and gobs of salt on items, and I'm thinking, they ought to just use your salt. They wouldn't have to use so much.
Yeah, plus think about this. When you go to the hospital, what's the first thing they do? Your admitting orders are to hook you up to a saline drip.
Yes.
Salt and water are counter-regulatory. It does help balance fluids, but the right salt is going to do much, much more for you. So, we have salt. We get it from France. It's the whole food salt. So if anybody's interested, give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. The number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And, of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com. Of course, people can sign up on your website and mine for the newsletter, too, The American Survival, which is always great.
Yes, it is. It's a fantastic little newsletter, and it was a fantastic first segment. Thank you, Wendy, for joining. It really was, and you bring us such great information, and, you know, folks need to call you and get healthy and stay healthy with Wendy Wilson. That's a great title. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. It's been a hectic day here at Discount Gold and Silver. I'm getting my computers fixed. The computer man was here today, and that just always kind of throws me off and working right up until the program. So, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if the opening was a little rough today. I was just rushing to make sure I was here right on time. And they're still not fixed, but we're working on it. And hopefully no more freezes in the computer world of Discount Gold and Silver. Now, our invoices and everything, they're getting out right on time. Different computer, because we keep that separate. We keep all of our invoices, all of that, any computer information, any client information, any business information, that's all private and protected. It's not on my computers that I do the programs with, and you know, my research. I have different research computers from the business computers. So you're all safe, as safe as we can be in this world of technology. And so give us a call at 800-375-4188. Prices are creeping up, and they're doing a great job, and if it continues, you know, Dave, I can't imagine with the markets reacting and all based on the Federal Reserve that I don't know what's going to happen if they don't get that quarter point cut.
It won't be pretty.
It won't be.
For a day or two, anyway.
Well, we'll and then we can always see if that's the first domino and what happens after that first day or two. But here's some more input as far as the world global growth is. You know, again, no fans of the IMF, but hey, they're coming out and saying they further reduced their global growth outlook. Now, what's interesting is their global growth outlook. Already the lowest since the financial crisis, and suggested that policy missteps on trade or Brexit could derail a possible rebound. Well, there's no rebound coming. The world economy will expand at 3.2% this year and 3.5% next year, both down 0.1 percentage point from April projections. A rate of 3.3% or lower would be the weakest since 2009. So they also slashed their expectations for growth in the global volume of trade in goods and services, reducing that estimate by 0.9 points for this year. The IMF said that the projected growth pickup in 2020 is precarious, presuming stabilization, and currently stressed emerging markets and developing economies and progress toward resolving trade differences. Well, that says a whole lot of nothing, but you know, they're talking about you know, continuing stimulus. It's what they need. I mean, it's really that simple. The warnings about the brittle state of the world economy follow weaker readings on China's growth, and the U.S. GDP data is due out this week. So, and that is that forecast is to show growth has cooled in the second quarter, Dave.
Yeah, certainly, you know, with the Federal Open Market Committee meeting early and mid next week, you know, I'll have a chance to look at the most current growth and other data. I suspect it's not going to dampen the Fed's resolve to cut rates 0.25%, but you know, 100% roughly, close to, you know, of people who, you know, look at these things, think that there will be a cut of at least 25 basis points. But in any event, since the IMF's last forecast in April, the U.S. has increased tariffs on Chinese imports, and rather sharply. Of course, China's responded in kind, though late last month, both countries agreed to resume talks and avoid more tariffs. A little more on that in a minute. The IMF cut China growth estimates to 6.2 this year and 6% next, both down 0.1 percentage point, the weakest pace since quarterly data began in 1992. The U.S. forecast, interestingly, was raised 0.3% to 2.6%, largely on you know, better than expected performance in the first quarter. But the IMF's 2020 estimate of U.S. growth is unchanged at 1.9%. The IMF said that the risks facing the global economy included the trade tensions, denting investment, the continuing impact of low interest rates on investor risk appetite, and disinflationary pressures that would make servicing debt harder and constrain central banks' ability to use monetary policy in downturns. We'll also talk about some of those other issues later in the program as well.
Well, you know, with interest rates falling back again late last week, it doesn't seem like, you know, buyers and consumers seem to be very enthused. Overall, mortgage applications volume fell 1.9% for the week, and that was according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. It's still higher than a year ago, but it's beginning to see a trend of weakening even to the lower rates, and that's what I find interesting. And but again, it's the stronger refinance market this year that has really impacted the volumes. The average contract interest for the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage with conforming loan balances is of $484,000 or less, decreased to 4.08% from 4.12%. And going back to a year ago, the average mortgage rate was 69 basis points higher. And again, that's why overall refinance demand is stronger now. Refinance application volume did fall 2% last week, despite the rate drop.
Yeah, Joel Kahn, who is the Mortgage Banker Association's Associate Vice President, said that this is an indication that as we see rates lower for longer, borrowers need more of a drop in rates to consider refinancing. Mortgage demand for buying a home decreased 2% for the week, but was 6% higher than last year. Buyers may be getting used to low mortgage rates and more concerned about overall affordability, as, you know, sale of existing homes fell again in June, that despite a sharp drop in the mortgage rates during the month.
You know, I find this interesting, Dave. You know, we talk about when we had the tax reform, you know, the trillions of dollars that were going to be repatriated back into the states and so forth. And it does seem that the U.S. corporations have brought back, you know, offshore profits in record numbers last year. With nearly half of the repatriated funds coming from low or no tax countries where companies stashed their cash prior to the 2017 tax law. So nearly half the cash the U.S. multinationals brought back onshore during 2018 actually came from Bermuda, $231 billion, the Netherlands, $138 billion. And this was all according to the Commerce Department's Bureau of Economic Analysts. It's still a far cry from the trillion of dollars that they had estimated would come back. I think they had estimated, what, $2.1 trillion was going to be repatriated back, or that's sitting there to be repatriated back. But Ireland was the third largest source of this cash, but the value is suppressed because of confidentiality rules in the country. Isn't that nice? And that's why they got so much cash. The data showed how U.S. companies are deploying cash globally following the overhaul of the U.S. tax system, which cut the corporate tax rate from 21 to 35 from cut the tax rate to 21% from the 35%. It's the middle of the week, Dave.
Hey, that's why it's hump day. It'll get better.
Is that why?
That's right. Hey, well, you know, these figures show that chemical manufacturers and electronics producers are both industries that have historically relied heavily on offshore subsidiaries for tax purposes, brought back the most. The data also show U.S. direct investment abroad decreased by over $62 billion to $5.95 trillion in 2018 as a result of companies repatriating cash. U.S. corporations brought back about $877 billion over the course of last year in the, you know, the first quarter of this. Now, that's a fraction of the $4
trillion. So
that's
$4 trillion, not 2.1. Okay.
Yeah, it's a fraction of the $4 trillion that the president said would be returned to the U.S. as a result of his tax laws. I kind of remember a range. So it could have been the low range was 2, the upper range was 4. But companies had kept much of their overseas profit offshore to avoid a 35% tax that kicked in when they brought the money back to the U.S. And the tax law set a one-time 15.5% tax rate on cash and 8% on non-cash or illiquid assets repatriated to the U.S., regardless of where the profit sat.
I did have a question. Wasn't that just a one-year freebie for these multinational corporations?
That's true.
Okay, so there won't be any more money repatriated back. That's expired.
Yeah, I forget now if they hadn't repatriated any this year, if they can do it next year and get the tax benefit. I don't believe that's the case. So I think how you characterize it is correct.
Well, going forward, companies generally only pay U.S. taxes on the profits that they earn domestically. However, the law included some exceptions, which means they can still owe on foreign profits. The global low tax intangible income levy, which is called GILTI. That's so funny.
GILTI. I know.
You know. You can't make this stuff up. I wonder how long it took them to figure out to call it the Global Low Tax Intangible Income Levy just so they could call it GILTI.
Absolutely.
But in the law was meant to keep U.S. corporations from stashing profits in low or to no tax countries. And, of course, economists and some tax lawyers have said GILTI actually encourages companies to earn money overseas. And that's the exact opposite of what Congress's intentions were. But policymakers in Congress and the Treasury Department are closely watching how companies are reacting to the law to see if there are unintended holes that allow corporations to minimize their tax bills. All right. So, antitrust, Justice Department. Has sent the strongest signal yet that it's prepared to take on technology giants like Facebook and Google. Specifically, it has announced a broad antitrust review into whether the companies are using their power to thwart competition. The department's antitrust division disclosed plans yesterday to scrutinize tech platforms following mounting criticisms across Washington that the companies have become too big and too powerful. Department didn't specify which firms it would look at, but strongly, of course, suggested Facebook, Google, Amazon are in the crosshairs. And of course, the history of these DOJ investigations is that they kill the company that they investigate as a firm turns its focus on defending itself. A law professor at the University of California says it's a giant distraction.
Yeah, this announcement, Melody, is the latest sign of the escalating pressure on tech giants from Capitol Hill to President Trump, who accuses the companies of silencing conservative views. Now, excuse me, the giants of the industry are under fire over massive collection of user data, failing to police content on their platforms, and claims that they're harming competition and reducing choices for consumers. the spotlight on the industry carried into today when a record $5 billion privacy fine against Facebook was announced by the Federal Trade Commission for a series of privacy violations. The last major antitrust case in this sector was the Justice Department's pursuit of Microsoft in the late 90s. Ironically, that case constrained Microsoft, giving Google the space to grow into a giant of its own.
Now, that's what I was going to ask. What do these cases really do? You know, they really don't do. They come in a little too late, you know.
Well, that's a big part of it, actually. When so much of the damage has been done.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of, I mean, it's, you know, it's the consequence of politics, of money in politics, I believe. I mean, it's the same reason why, you know, what happened during and after the Great Recession and the big bailout, why that, you know, on the one hand, it didn't happen, what happened didn't happen soon enough, and, you know, the bailout, which in most cases should have never happened anyway, you know, did happen, I believe, in part, if not large part, beyond, you know, the posturing that, you know, it was needed to, you know, to save the country and perhaps the world, financial system, was the millions, the tens of millions of dollars that are put into political coffers by these people who benefit from subsequent decisions.
Well, my question is, how can they go after these companies, particularly like Amazon, when they're getting all these government contracts?
Yeah. Well, you know, they can. I mean, it's, you know, and I'm glad that they do. I mean, it shouldn't. I mean, the other question that I've seen asked is, you know, if they're causing so much harm, why are they qualifying for these government contracts in the first place?
Yeah, exactly.
you know, that I think is the real issue here. But it's just, you know, everyone's in bed with everyone else, and it turns out that it's a smart strategy.
So the antitrust fight is just just to make everyone believe that they're on the ball, and then they go and shake hands and do these billion-dollar government contracts.
Yeah, right. I know.
Anyway, I know it. It's same old. And of course, our breaks is right here, right on time. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. It's interesting, Dave, the Bank of England's Governor Mark Carney. And this is something that we've talked about, I can't even remember for how many years. It says investment funds that promise to allow customers to withdraw their money on a daily basis, it's all built on a lie. The chief investment officer of Europe's biggest independent asset manager agrees with them. He says there's no point denying we are faced with a looming liquidity mismatch problem. Now, this Pascal Blanc, they oversee more than 1.4 trillion euros, or $1.6 trillion, as the CIO of Amundi. Market liquidity can melt away faster than a dropped ice cream in a heat wave. That prospect is one of various things, keeping him awake at night. Yeah, well, I don't know if it keeps him awake at night, but we'll take him at his word for it, though. And, you know, he doesn't mind managing the 1.4 trillion euros. He's not going to do anything about it. So in the wake of the global financial crisis, regulators have obliged investment banks to bolster their balance sheets, and that has reduced the amount of capital that these institutions are willing to commit to the security markets of the many areas. Liquidity is already drying up, Dave.
Yeah, for one of those, the examples of that, Melody, is, you know, daily turnover in U.S. high-yield debt is at its lowest since 2014. Now, as that activity drops, the drop in turnover reduces the banking industry's exposure to a collapse in prices or a surge in volatility. But the dangers are simply transferred rather than reduced or eliminated. Now, that poses a problem for regulators. I mean, something the Bank of England acknowledged earlier in the month. You know, as the funds industry has supplanted banks as a source of credit in the past decade, households and companies have benefited from a useful alternative source of financing. But the report warns, we don't know how this market-based system will respond under stress. I believe they're talking about the high levels of stress experienced 10 years ago. Blanc, for one, warned, it's a bomb, given the risks of liquidity mismatch, and we don't know if what is sellable today will be sellable 6 months from now. That's a pretty frightening thought.
It is. So, ladies and gentlemen, what they're telling you is your money's going to be lost. You won't be able to get your money. It's that simple. It's that simple. Warnings are everywhere. Take heed.
Mm-hmm.
Take heed. Buy low, sell high. What do you sell when things are high, like the paper market? And I know you're all feeling comfortable. It's like, I know your 401s, your environment, they're doing well, and I know you're going to ride it out. You have to be personally impacted before you make that change. I understand that. But are you going to have the chance? That's the question. That's the $64 million question. If you wait for that time, are you going to have that chance to get out what you can? People weren't even that lucky in 2008, but we do have short memories. And sit back, think about what it was like in 2008, and then multiply that by 10. But moving on, this week we have Brevity is Golden. Now, I'm not quite sure, Dave, you have an odd combination.
What?
You have kidney stones, Warren Buffett and cryptocurrency? And I'm not a fan of Warren Buffett, so right away I thought, oh, now, what is he going to talk about Warren Buffett?
Well, here's one where I think we can all agree, or you and I can agree, that, you know, we're not fans of kidney stones or cryptocurrencies either.
You're right.
Cryptocurrency entrepreneur Justin Sun has proved that volatility is one of the few things you can count on in the digital asset market. This comes after he postponed his charity lunch meeting with Warren Buffett, citing a bout of kidney stones. The announcement, interestingly, helped send the price of digital token known as Tron, T-R-O-N, that Sun founded, down as much as 21%. And that came amid a frenzy of speculation on Twitter and in Chinese social media. Sun's Chinese. Various posts and articles claim that Sun has been denied an exit visa from China, and that the 29-year-old is the subject of investigations for everything from illegal fundraising to money laundering. All those good things about cryptocurrencies, Melody. You know, the coin Tron trimmed its losses to about 12% after Sun live streamed the video yesterday to prove that he was in San Francisco, saying that he wasn't feeling quite well and planned to postpone the lunch with Buffett. Sun bid a record $4.57 million this year.
I know.
To win the chance to dine with good old Warren as part of Buffett's annual charity lunch auction. Sun, who launched Tronix in 2017, said last month he was hoping to educate Buffett, a self-professed cryptocurrency critic, on the benefits of crypto and the underlying blockchain technology. Now, a spokesperson for Glide confirmed that the charity had received the full donation from Sun. The postponement came only hours after Sun tweeted invitations to other crypto boosters, and he denied media reports that he was involved in this illegal fundraising and money laundering, saying earlier this week, it's pretty comfortable in San Francisco with a view of the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge in the background, battling down these rumors that he was stuck in China. And Melody, in the world of high finance, that is this week's Brevity is Golden.
You know, it's hard for me to believe, and I get it's for charity and everything, so I guess they bid up prices and so forth. I get that and everything. And I don't know what this charity does. I don't know what type of, who it helps or whatever, if it's a research, I don't know.
No, but it's you know, like sick kids and, you know, things like that. It's a legit you know, high financed charity.
Well, you know, but who would pay that to have anybody had to have lunch with anybody? You know, but anyway. So.
Yeah, when you got it, flaunt it, right? Jeez.
Well, considering that he's in hot doo-doo for all the things that, you know, all the illegal connections, maybe it's a way to, you know, keep himself out of trouble. Yes.
I take it that Sun did not pay this Glide organization for the privilege of having lunch with Sir Warren with cryptocurrency. That does not compute.
Probably not. Well, here's something that we've been talking about on a regular basis about how some foreign countries are scooping up gold. And Russia's one of them. We've heard this story for a long time, but the story continues to grow. Russia's gold reserves continue to grow, and their holdings of dollars, U.S. dollars, continue to be depleted. So they're turning in their worthless U.S. dollar reserves and getting gold reserves. Russia's gold reserves topped the 100 billion mark in July, as we saw gold prices rising. And as we see, Russia's central bank are continuing to buy the metal. The Russian central bank bought another 597,000 ounces, or 18.7 tons of gold in June, which put the total gold holdings at 2,208 tons as of July 1st, and that was worth about $100 billion. Moscow has been actively buying up gold this year, adding more than 96 tons since the beginning of 2019. Russia bought 200,000 in May, 550,000 ounces in April, 600,000 ounces in March, 1 million ounces in February, and 200,000 ounces in January. So during this last decade, Russia's gold reserves have gone from 2% to 19% as of the end of 2018. Now, this is all according to the World Gold Council. And the council has been pointing to an overarching trend towards gold, noting that central banks around the world has purchased a total of 651.5 tons of gold last year. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the largest amount since 1971.
Yeah, that's nothing to blink at. I mean, what's just as interesting to understand in the case of Russia is not just these large numbers, but the trend. I mean, emerging market central banks have been buying gold fairly consistently, since 2010. Now, because central banks are looking to diversify their reserves, they're looking for safety, and gold provides just that to them. This year is no different from last, with central banks, which have been heavy gold buyers since early last year, continuing to add the precious metal to their reserves. Global gold reserves overall continue to climb, tracking the 8% gain in June, the biggest monthly surge in 3 years as trade and economic tensions rise, and of course other factors involved there. Now, analysts cited IMF data showing that Kazakhstan raised gold holdings to 12.1 million ounces last month from 11.9 in May, and Turkey, another big gold buyer, increased their reserves to 16.3 million ounces last month, up from 16.03 the month before. You, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, you should consider upping your reserves, your gold reserves as well.
Both major political parties, they're, I guess this is a report, I'm not sure who did this report, but it doesn't seem like most Americans don't seem to care about the destruction of America's financial future. I mean, we can remember a time, Dave, when the Republicans considered to be the party of fiscal responsibility, but now they're just as bad as the free spending Democrats. As we discussed the other day, a so-called compromise budget deal was reached on Monday, a deal that will dramatically increase federal spending and it's going to suspend the federal debt limit until after the next election. But in other words, both sides are conspiring to make our debt problem much worse over the next year and a half. And everyone, this should be causing howls of outrage all across America. But instead, most Americans seem content to go along with the free spending ways of D.C., the political leaders, and only a handful of voices are sounding the alarm as we just steamroll toward financial oblivion.
Yeah, I think as we people like us continue to educate fellow Americans, perhaps little by little more and more will start to speak up. Whether it's too late, well, that's another story. But you know, when Barack Obama was sworn in as prez on January 20th, 2009, our national debt was about $10.6 trillion. And to get out of the Great Recession, Congress sent us the greatest debt binge in the history of our nation. When Obama's second term was over, the national debt had risen to $19.9 trillion. Just a modest increase of 88%, Melody. Then Donald Trump took office, and we've continued to rack up a debt at a staggering pace. You know, within the combination of the 2017 tax cut bill, plus last year's spending deal, and now this most recent one, the gross national debt's more than $22 trillion. So over the last 10.5 years. Our politicians have been taking more than $100 million every single hour of every single day from future generations of Americans. during the, we'll call it the Trump-Obama era. That was a Freudian slip. anyway.
But unfortunately, Dave, things are about to get a lot worse. It's being projected that this non-discretionary spending is going to dramatically rise. And of course, we're all going to be, they blame the baby boomers as we begin to retire in unprecedented numbers this decade. And as a result, our national debt is going to hit $30 trillion in less than 10 years. And I'll guarantee you, it's going to be more than $30 trillion if that's what they're projecting. You know, it's always double that of what they project. I'm not saying it's $60 trillion, but I'll guarantee it's going to be more than 30. So by the end of 2020, the debt will be approaching, by the end of
next year,
the debt's going to be approaching $25 trillion. And that doesn't include the state and local debt of $3 trillion, plus their $6 trillion unfunded pension liabilities. And this is, if it all just goes without a hiccup, this is all without a recession that everyone is calling for. So the unified deficit will easily hit $2 trillion, approach the $2.5 trillion in the next recession. Now, within 2 years after that, 2 to 3, the national debt's going to be at least $30 trillion. You tack in a little inflation in there, and guess where it's going to be? I guarantee you, at the end of the 20s, it's going to be $40 trillion. But scary numbers, Dave. And everybody just thinks that, hey, when we were at $5 trillion, nothing happened. So why should it happen at $30 trillion?
I wallow in your optimism, honey. Your realism, I appreciate it, as listeners should as well.
I will be back tomorrow with that final comment. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.